This is Kinetic Podcast, a podcast for those with a heart for reaching kids. I'm your host, Josh Combs, and each episode you're going to hear practical insights and strategies that will hopefully inspire you to energize your kidmen. Thank you so much for listening and enjoy today's episode. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Kinetic Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Combs. This is a podcast for you, all of the kids ministers out there, all of the heroes out there that are investing in kids, reaching kids for Christ week in, week out. We're here to equip you, inspire you, and to energize your kidmen. So thanks so much for joining us. I'm really excited about this interview, this conversation this week. This is with Lauren Crutchfield, who is a kids evangelist out of the state of Georgia, and she has been evangelizing for the past few years. Just doing an incredible job traveling to camps, churches, doing kids rallies, seeing many children filled with the Spirit. She has a very unique ministry. She uses a lot of fun and action songs. And our topic today is connecting from the stage. Because here's the thing. We all know in kids ministry, there's a lot more that goes on besides what happens on a stage, what happens in kids' church, what happens in front of a group of kids. And so we get that. There's a lot of things that we talk about on this podcast that has nothing to do with necessarily standing in front of a group of kids. But with that being said, it is an area that we shouldn't neglect or shouldn't put on the back burner, because connecting with kids from the stage helps provide an atmosphere where they can learn the Word of God in a fun and engaging way, but also to an environment where they can seek God and pray and have an experience with God. And so that all can happen in that environment and in that setting of a kids church or of a VBS. And so connecting from the stage is very, very important. And so we talk with Lauren about that, about how to connect from the stage, how to connect with kids using games, using action songs, using our lesson. And she goes through some of her processes and some of her techniques that helps her with connecting with kids from the stage. So we hope you enjoy this episode, and thank you again for listening. If you like Kinetic Podcasts, please leave us a review. Leave us a rating on the iTunes interface. Kinetic Podcasts, it really helps us get the word out and continue to share Kinetic Podcasts with other kids ministers, other people you think would enjoy and benefit from this podcast. So here we go. This week's episode is with Lauren Crutchfield. Well, today on Kinetic Podcasts, it is so good to have Lauren Crutchfield, who is a kids evangelist. She has been a kids evangelist for the past 4 years and is also the kids pastor at the Life Church in Hinesville, Georgia. Lauren, thank you so much for being on Kinetic Podcast.
I truly appreciate the opportunity. I'm looking forward to it.
So, Lauren, I know there's probably listeners that have seen your ministry in action. I know for the past few years, I'd like to say you're an up-and-coming kids evangelist. You've been able to have some awesome opportunities doing camps and rallies and kids services. So just kind of tell us today kind of what your philosophy is as far as, when you are ministering to kids in a kids church setting, kind of how you do things, how you approach it. And also too, if you want to kind of just, in there, just kind of tell us how you got started, but just kind of tell us a little bit about your ministry to kids.
Okay. Yeah. So I will start from the beginning. I got started. My father was the Georgia District Sunday School Director for 8 years. And in that 8 years, I was able to meet so many different kids evangelists that were my mentors and that have really just developed me into the kids minister that I am. So with that time that my father actually put into that ministry, I was able to develop myself. And so whenever I turned 18, I got the call to do my first kids service. And I'm telling you, the first time I did it, I had no idea what I was doing. I went over my time. I did all that different stuff, but thankfully the Lord has allowed me to develop in this ministry. So what I always enjoy doing is I like to get them involved with kind of like a crowd breaker to get everybody talking, get everybody happy and excited. And then I really just push for action songs, some games. I'm also incorporating puppets very soon. And, you know, everything's just so fun and upbeat and kind of entertaining in a way. And then the lessons are very illustrative, and in that matter, we're able to just really keep their attention the entire time. So that's kind of what I do with my ministry as far as that.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, today's topic is connecting from the stage. And obviously we know as kids ministers, you know, there's a lot that goes into kids ministry that doesn't happen on the stage, you know, and I just want to kind of emphasize that we all realize that, you know, there's a lot more to kids ministry than what happens, you know, in front of a group of kids. But today we are talking about that because it is a very important aspect. And, you know, the past 10, 15 years, there's been a big emphasis, a big push and focus on kids church, you know, where we have, you know, groups of kids that are evolved from all different ages, all different grades and all different learning styles that are maybe in a room or in a kid service. And so, you know, for a lot of people, you know, connecting from the stage to a large group of kids, you know, can maybe be an intimidating thing, or can maybe be something where they're know where to start. And so let's just kind of break that down, Lauren, because, you know, you have a really awesome ministry where, you know, you incorporate humor, you incorporate action songs, you incorporate all kinds of different things. And I want to talk about, you know, I've gotten to see your ministry in action. I want to talk about your approach to action songs, because, you know, a lot of times I've, you know, action songs in myself and my ministry, I use it, you know, as a way, you know, for where kids are coming together, you know, as a form of worship. And your action songs are, you know, a form of worship, but you do something pretty unique where I got to say, you know, I'll just be honest, you know, your action song skill level is a way above mine. You know, you have an incredible way where you're using action songs to connect with kids, and almost use it as a game and where kids, you know, interactive. So kind of tell us about that, your approach to action songs in that way.
Okay. Yeah, well, with action songs, I just go into my most creative zone as possible. And, you know, typically with action songs, you use the same motion for each word over and over. But I always try to make sure that I am incorporating something that people have never seen before. And that's one of my major things. You know, I like to just really get everybody involved and force the kids to get out all that energy that they have pinned up that most people are trying to tell them to calm down and sit down. So I'm trying to get them to use all of their energy and just put it out there. And for my action songs, what you can do is you can actually go on my website, which is laurentaylorministries.com, or on my YouTube channel, which is Lauren Taylor, and you can find all of my action songs, all the stuff that I do, and, you know, just take those and make them your own and just be creative. That's what I've found with action songs, and don't be afraid to have fun. I think that's one of the main things, and I love this topic that you gave as far as connecting from the stage, and I just want to kind of take some time and talk about children's ministry, if that's okay.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. I have kind of like three different things that children's ministry does for me. And so, the first one that children's ministry does for me is it allows me to be personal. We're talking about connecting from the stage, and I try my hardest never to spend more time on the platform than I have to. I always want to be able to look into their eyes, be able to give them a high five. And I really don't like remaining in elevated places. I want to reach them on their level. You know, we hear all the time whenever you're praying with a kid, get on their eye level, get right there next to them. And what happens and what is the difference whenever we're teaching them, whenever we're preaching to them? And honestly, in action songs, I really like to be able to do those crazy facial expressions and just get right there and make them give me a high five. And kids find that so exciting whenever you are making the craziest face that you can possibly make in an action song, whenever you're using that humor that God has already gifted you, they love it, and they fall more and more in love with you. So children's ministry really allows us to be personal. So, you know, get off the platform and just go meet with them and have some time with them. And another thing is your most impacting moments might not be in the time you're speaking to them, but the time you're spending with them. And that time that you're spending with them, you know, we don't just clock in and clock out whenever services start and services end. We really have to be continually getting to know them and getting in that relationship with them that we can just be close to them and find out what they like. Because you kind of have to analyze your crowd and get to know them. And that's one of my things with my action songs and with my games is I've analyzed my crowd and I've seen what they like and I've seen what they don't like and I've seen what kind of stuff they're into. And the fact of the matter is, kids are listening to music that, you know, doesn't always have those godly perspectives. So I try and I dig for music that has really cool beats and really cool different things. I will literally take a month before I go out and travel and just search for songs that are cool and songs that not everybody might like, but man, kids just love it. And then another thing with kids ministry is it gives us an opportunity to teach in a way that Jesus did. Jesus taught in parables. He didn't have to repeat himself and he didn't have to preach for 45 minutes just to get a topic across. So I think that's a great thing with children's ministry is we're able to connect with them. We're able to have those relationships with them. And we're able to do it on kind of a shorter time period than a lot of people because you don't want to lose their attention. We lose our effectiveness whenever we lose their attention. So that's why using action songs, using funny jokes that you might not even think are funny, but kids are going to roll on the floor and laugh and then just play games and getting adults involved. And adults really have to be able to loosen up in kids' services. So that's kind of my perspective on that.
Yeah, definitely. What are some ways that you, because you just mentioned using adults, and obviously, you know, a lot of times when you're doing kids' services, maybe if there's kids pastors or kids evangelists that are doing kids services in a setting where there's not just kids, but there's adults. And so there's kind of that challenge to get both involved, or you're doing a kids service and you have the volunteers that are adults there. So, and kids love to see that. They love to see teenagers and adults, you know, acting silly. That really kind of helps break the ice. So what are some ways that you do that as far as incorporate the adults to where not just your humor adults are getting, it's jokes for adults and kids, but getting them involved in general?
Yeah, because it can't just be getting the adults to laugh whenever things are funny. It's actually involving them in every area of your service. You know, whenever I do an action song, I usually get helpers, and with those helpers, I'll pull from the teenagers because, man, kids love seeing their big brother or big sister do something. And whenever they see their big brother or big sister do something, it automatically makes them want to do it too. So I usually involve the teenagers in doing action songs, and I've even had older adults, you know, just jump up there and have a good time, and man, it gets everybody laughing and having a great time. And then in the game, I've had several adults, you know, the first few rounds I'll probably pick kids just to play the game and all that, but man, the moment that I say, all right, let's get some adults up here, and the moment that the adults just run through an obstacle course or run through something, they're tripping, they're falling, they may feel like they're making a fool of themselves, but it is so much fun, and it incorporates such a unity in the service that everybody is just loving it and having a great time. And one major thing is we got to get the adults involved because kids services can't feel like an amusement park where you're just looking at everything. You have to really, truly be involved, and everybody needs to be involved. And whenever you have that energy level and that noise level that the adults can bring, then the kids really enjoy it 10 times more. So I really encourage adults to also be involved in services.
Now, I know we've talked about action songs and games. Well, actually, let's talk a little bit more about games before we get into like the lesson part of teaching, because games are also, you know, a very important part too of the kids' church setting, because again, it's getting everyone involved and kind of getting kids and adults. So what are some, you know, you don't have to necessarily tell us about certain particular games that you've done, but kind of what's your philosophy as far as, you know, picking a game or you know, knowing how long a game should go or, you know, what's your purpose behind doing a game? What's kind of your philosophy with using games in a kids' church setting?
Man, using games is one of the coolest things you can do. And I don't actually pick games that can incorporate everyone because that'll just take up so much time and it will become less and less fun. What I do is I'll pick a game that I pick, girls versus guys, and let's just see who's going to win. So I pick a girl versus a boy, or, I play a game and I pick two girls versus two boys, and it kind of creates this competition, but also this unity between this girl pack and this guy pack. So, I really try to pick games that are fun, are interactive, and a major thing that I actually do is before my services, I plan every second to a T. So I will have an entire playlist dedicated to that service, and I will know exactly how long my game's about to take and how long my action song's about to take. I'm pretty sure if your game is going to go over at least a length of a normal song, which is about 3.5 to 4 minutes, if your game is going to go over that, you might want to be careful of how you do it because you might lose attention. And we lose all of our effectiveness whenever we lose their attention. They become rowdy and they start paying attention to other things. So whenever you're trying to create how long you want your game to run, pick a song and let that song play during your lesson. Be intentional about everything that you do so you don't lose that attention or create any dead space, because dead space is one of the worst things that you could probably do in any service. We put a lot of planning and attention into our main services or in our conferences, but we kind of lose that same desire to be so strategic whenever it comes to kids' services. So I really think we should put that much effort into planning out our games and our action songs and all of that.
What are some resources? Are there any sites or resources that you go to find ideas for games?
Man, you know what? Pinterest has everything. If you need a game, go to Pinterest. Or just Google something. But for the most part, I'm actually going to be posting all of my games on that YouTube site as well. And I'm going into a week-long recording session where I'm just recording what games I do, how I do the games. But at the same time, with games, I kind of just find an object and think, man, what can I do with this object that is funny and fun at the same time? So there will be a few resources that are coming to you guys to be able to help you with that. But as for now,
Great.
just Pinterest it or Google it, man.
Yeah, definitely. That great. And yeah, we'll make sure to put those links you just mentioned, your website and YouTube in the show notes. That way people can go there and check it out. So we talked about, the action songs and the games, and then because obviously when we do those things, we're pointing it to the lesson, right? The lesson or teaching the word of God is very important. And I know we could do a whole podcast on this, but if you don't mind, kind of take us through your process of picking a lesson, kind of what's your criteria for, Bible stories you use and kind of your thought process behind actually teaching the lesson part.
Right. Well, with my lessons, man, I want to be like Jesus, so I try to tell stories the same way that Jesus did. And so the Bible gives me everything that I already needed if I'm willing to take time to research and plan and prepare. So one of my favorite things is just taking stories from the Bible and bringing them to life. People won't remember what you said, but they'll remember what you did. So use illustrations and just bring those stories to life and make sure that you put them on a kid's level. I've done a lesson so many different times. It's just on Daniel. And Daniel prayed 3 times a day. And Daniel, even though everybody was telling him to stop, he kept going. And even though he was thrown into a lion's den, Jesus took care of him. And kids have that same opportunity to pray no matter what anybody else is doing, no matter what anybody else is saying. There have been testimonies that I've incorporated into that lesson, but just look in the Word of God because we've already been given everything that we need if we just open up our Bible and look at it. And also, just as I said before, you really got to analyze where your kids are at. You got to develop that relationship with them, know what they're dealing with, and really relate to them on their level. You can't be preaching messages that are above them or below them or that are just not even making any sense to them. So that takes a lot of prayer. It takes a lot of fasting. And it takes a lot of time that you're just digging in the Word of God and digging into your students and into your kids.
Yeah, very, very true. And I think too, for a lot of kids ministers and kids pastors, especially if you're starting out, you know, teaching a group of kids, there can kind of be this unspoken pressure to fit a certain mold. You know, obviously there's a lot of kids evangelists out there that, you know, there's a lot of different styles out there. But I think a lot of times, you know, a kids minister, maybe they watch someone like yourself or another kids evangelist and they say, well, I got to be a certain way. But we all understand, especially if we've been doing it for a little bit, that it's really about finding our own style and our own language and our own, you know, method, whatever that might be, even if it doesn't look like another kids evangelist. So, you know, how did you find your style? And maybe, you know, kind of tell us what that is as far as, you know, when you're teaching and what would you do to encourage others trying to find their style of teaching to kids?
Man, I honestly had a very difficult time finding, you know, my style. I actually preached at a church and they thought that I was going to be one thing, and it turned out that I was actually kind of something else. And I think part of that is because those who mentored me, I have a little bit of, you know, teacher, preacher, and then I also have this crazy kids evangelist. And so I kind of meshed and molded myself, and it took a lot of time and a lot of prayer. And it also took a lot of time that I just didn't really listen to everybody else. You know, I had to come to the conclusion that, for one, I'm a woman, so I'm allowed to be feminine in what I do. I don't have to preach like a man, and I don't have to do kids services like a man. And that's one thing. If you're a girl, man, just stick to what God has given you and what God has gifted you with. But with finding who you are, if you're not having fun doing what you're doing, it's going to show. So if you're not enjoying yourself in your services and you're just kind of creating a mask because you're trying to be like everybody else because you know they're successful, don't do that, because that's not going to be effective. I think with finding ourselves in kids ministry is just taking time to develop that and praying, Lord, you know, no matter what anybody else is doing, I want to be faithful to who you've created me to be. Because truthfully, I, on the inside, am the biggest introvert you will ever meet in your entire life. I'd like to read books, and I like to be by myself. But then, because God called me to this, I relied on God's strength. So whenever you think, man, God can't use me in this, I have too many weaknesses, God will take those weaknesses, and he will show you that without him, you can't do it. And I think that's one of my biggest things in this entire ministry is I've realized, you know, if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be doing this. So it's a big humbling moment, and just find yourself, take that time, be in prayer, develop that relationship with God, and just really search for yourself. And that's just going to come with time and dedication to the ministry. You can't really rush it. You can't just say, hey, tomorrow I'm going to be one of the coolest people in the world, and I'm going to do it just like them and just like this. But whenever God's created you to be a certain way, he didn't mess up whenever he made you like that. So just really develop the person that God called you to be, because you can reach people that I can't reach. And it'll go on and so forth. So just be that person. And it might take a couple test runs, you know. Test something. See if you like it. If you like it, keep going. If you don't like it, man, we're just going to knock that out, and we're going to knock it off our list, and it's perfectly okay.
That's great. That's great advice. Now, you know, going from the lesson part, you know, teaching the lesson, obviously as a kids evangelist, you know, your main objective is to get kids, you know, in the altar and to connect with them in a way to where they can, you know, reach out to God and speak to God, you know, from their heart. And that's when God can move, and seeing kids filled with the Holy Ghost. And that's your, you know, that's your objective as a kids evangelist. And so when you have, if you have a kids leader that they're teaching a kids service, and it's evangelistic, kind of go through us again. We've gone through the action songs, the games, kind of the preliminary things to connect with them, and then the lesson. And then tell us about that bridge between teaching the lesson, right, and, you know, acting goofy and connecting with them, having fun, telling jokes, and then we have to kind of bring it down, you know, the analogy of the plane, we had the landing gear out, and now we're going to bring it down to more serious part of the altar call. And so kind of tell us about how you get to that point of going from the fun and the games and connecting with them to the most important part, which is the altar call and encouraging kids to respond in prayer.
Yeah. So everything that you do in a kid's service has got to be detailed and intentional. If you're not being intentional, I don't know what you're doing. So with those shifting from, having fun and blah, 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 and all that cool stuff, your lessons should be also intentional, and you should be researched out in the things of God and what the Lord is wanting for that moment. And so I have a few different ways that I kind of connect with the kids whenever we're about to go into that altar call. Is one of the main ones is just play your altar music softly and calm your voice down and really just make sure they know that this is what's about to happen. We're about to pray. We're about to go into this different level with God that we can reach him in a different way. So I typically just calm my voice down and I start giving every hint that we're about to go to that altar call with the altar music and all of that. And so there are some services that I say, hey, I want my teachers to go ahead and come up to the altar behind me and we're going to pray for these kids. Or sometimes I like for the kids to actually come and sit in the altar, and that allows them to get comfortable in the altar and it allows them to find their spot in the altar. And they also know that shift. So one main thing you got to do, got to play the music. And then you have to set the stage of how you want your altar call to go, whether that's with the teachers in the front or the kids just all around the altar praying. You're just being extremely intentional and detailed in what you're about to do. And every time that I go into altar, I always tell the story of the cross, because if it wasn't for the cross, we wouldn't even be here today. If it wasn't for Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, we wouldn't even be doing all this. And I have to always remind those kids, this is Jesus, and Jesus loved us this much. So it's really just an intentional dial it back. And really, the lesson allows that beginning shift. And then, whenever you play that music, and then you start going into the cross, and you're starting to set the stage for how you want the altar call to be, then you're going to be effective in the altar. And you should also ask the question, how many of you don't have the Holy Ghost? And how many of you do have the Holy Ghost? You have to ask them that question, but don't just ask the question. Explain what the Holy Ghost is. And I try to always explain the three steps we got to do to get to heaven. I always explain baptism. I always explain repentance. And I always explain the Holy Ghost. No matter if they've been in church their entire lives, they're still kids. Let's go ahead. Let's set the stage. And let's be intentional about our altar calls.
Yeah, that's great. And I think, what you stated there a little bit before is obviously, you're doing everything in prayer. And Lauren, you've kind of cultivated your own style and your own approach, as far as leading to the altar call. And obviously every kid's minister, every kid's pastor, it's going to be different. But what I think is key there is obviously the approach you just explained to us. That wasn't something that you just were like, okay, hey, I'm just gonna, give this a try. But that was something that in prayer and trying things out and what worked with your style, that's your approach. And so that's a great method that you gave us. And I think it's important, for everyone to realize that, it's not gonna, it might not look the same as Lauren Crutchfield's, or it might not look the same, as a Lloyd Squires, approach to, the altar, but, it's something that you have found, in your own walk with God, that has translated. So that's awesome. And I love that. And I've seen that you do that before, as far as talking about the cross, because, that can be something that a lot of people think, well, that maybe kids can't really handle talking about that, but you do it in a great way where, they can understand it and they do understand that the sacrifice that God made, that made everything else possible.
That understanding has come from my relationship with God. We sometimes we talk about burnout and we talk about those types of things and we're tired, but if your relationship with God is right, then everything else is just going to flow out of that. And you're not going to be burnt out because you're going to want to do kingdom work. And I always say, don't get so caught up in ministry that you lose sight of your maker. We always have to be in tune with God, in that relationship with God. And then after we make sure we're right, we can just overflow onto other people. And that's what it is. We can't just keep giving them an empty tank. We have to be constantly overflowing from our devotion and our time with God. No matter if you're a kids minister or a youth minister, you always have to make sure, hey, am I right? And if I am, that right spirit and that devotion and that time with God is just going to overflow onto my kids, and God will give me the understanding that I need to be able to work out these lessons and work out how I'm going to approach to these kids and what they need.
Yeah, that's so key. Now, since you mentioned that, Lauren, obviously as a traveling kids evangelist, you're always on the go. What are some ways that you have found, and along with your personal prayer time and reading the Bible, what are some ways you have found to kind of keep yourself fresh? You know, whether it's reading resources or researching things. What are just some ways in general, spiritually and just in your ministry, that you have kind of found a way to fill that tank and to be fresh?
Yeah, well, I am a result of the books that I read, the people that I spend time with, and the conferences that I go to. You know, I read this book and it said, you can't always gain experience, but you can gain wisdom through the things that you read. And man, there are just so many awesome things that you can keep reading and keep fresh on. If you go to the Pentecostal Publishing House, I encourage you to get every possible thing that you can get from Lloyd Squires, because he has just intentionally broken down baptism, Holy Ghost, everything, and that'll be something fresh for you to look at. And there are so many different apostolic authors that have also written different things. And so just make sure that you're getting those resources that you can find that are already there. And I think part of our problem is we're not willing to take the time to research. I understand we're all busy. I just finished working and I got here and I just had time to do this. And so we're all busy, but we have got to be intentional with our time, and we've got to be devoted, and we really have to just schedule out time. Say, hey, this is time for my personal devotion, and this is time to write out how can I be more effective in my ministry. And that's going to be through your reading, through your research. Get on YouTube and just look at how certain kids ministers are interacting with kids. You can really learn a lot through watching other people. And I think that's one of the main things that I've been able to do, is I take time and I take lessons and I listen, and I just love to glean from other kids ministers and other ministers of what they do. And I just sit and I just soak in everything that they say, and I get my journal out and I write down everything possibly that they can say, because I love that experience that I gain through their wisdom and through the books that I read, and also conferences. Please go to conferences. It will refresh you. It will bring a new perspective. It'll make you more excited, and it will make you understand that you are not alone in this ministry. There are several other people that are trying to develop kids ministry and any other ministry that you might be seeking out.
What are some specific books or conferences, like you mentioned, that you would recommend to others?
Investing in Futures is an amazing conference. It has everything that you will ever need. So Investing in Futures is a huge one. And please just look at your local children's ministry conferences. We have one coming up in Georgia this weekend, which is our Georgia Children's Ministries Conference. That's Friday and Saturday. So there are local things, and that just might be reaching out to your local kids minister or your local director and just saying, hey, what's coming up? How can I do this? What can I learn from? What can I glean from? And regarding books, there's a specific book, I'm not remembering the title, but it is on the Pentecostal Publishing House. It's from Brother Squires. He sends me so many different resources and stuff like that. But then also just find different books that are for you. I read this book recently. It was called Realign, and it was just reminding me to realign myself with God and putting my relationship with God first. And I am a big reader, so I love books. I love those different things. So really just look for books that are going to inspire you and really help you. And if you look for the actual local licensed books, they will blow your mind with different things. They might be more related for adult congregations, but if you take that information that they give you and you read it, then it will give you fresh knowledge and fresh insight.
Awesome. Awesome. And those are great, great resources that, again, we'll include in the show notes. So Lauren, you're a traveling kids evangelist. So if someone's listening here and they want to, have you come to an event or a kids camp, and I know you mentioned your website. Is that the best way for them to find out what you're doing and to reach out to you?
Yeah, you can find me on laurentaylorministries.com. There is a section that you can actually just go ahead and send me an email Or you can also find me on Facebook at Lauren Taylor Crutchfield. I'm on all the social media sites. So just probably type in Lauren Taylor or Lauren Taylor Crutchfield and you'll find me. And I try to keep myself extremely available for those messages.
Awesome. Well, Lauren, thank you so much for sharing some awesome insight on connecting with the stage. I'm sure a lot of people are going to really get a lot out of this. So thank you so much for sharing and being on the episode today.
Well, I truly appreciate the opportunity, sir.
All right. Well, you don't have to call me sir. I'm not that old. Thank you. I'll still take it. Thank you for listening. Those of you that are listening to Kinetic Podcast, and we hope you enjoyed today's episode. We hope it helped you. We hope it will energize your Kinmen. We'll see you next time.